Good afternoon, everybody. It is truly a pleasure to be here today. I thank the Rock Church for allowing us to use this space, and I thank Janelle Drews and the Chamber of Commerce for hosting this event. As you've done every year that I've been serving as mayor, and I really appreciate it. I think it's a great way to get some information out to our business community and our community as a whole, and talk about some of the great things we're doing. So with that, we'll start with this. The city of Monroe, the state of our community, the state of our city is strong. We're not strong because of the people, not because of the laws we have and the projects we're doing and so on and so forth. We're doing it because we have a very actively involved community. As Janelle mentioned earlier, there are a number of people who, a number of organizations, a number of businesses that participate in the chamber. We have a number of service providers, a number of churches, a number of other religious institutions, and then just people in clubs and so on that form the tight tapestry that forms the city of Monroe. So it is with all of that that we are a community of people that has created this strong community of neighbors. And I thank every one of you for the work that you do in your lives in three organizations to make this community great and to make this community strong. Thank you. I think the PowerPoint got ahead of me. I'm going to ask that we go ahead and go back to the next. All right. One of the tricks in doing this presentation is that what you're saying is behind me, and what I'm saying is here. And when I flip here, it doesn't necessarily flip here. So a couple years ago, the city council adopted a new vision statement for the city of Monroe. One of the things that I was asked when I first was elected mayor just over 10 years ago was, what is our city's vision? And when we did the comprehensive plan just over 10 years ago, one of the things that the planning commission and the community had an interest in doing was to really make the comprehensive plan more succinct. And the downside to doing that was we lost some of the really important things that define our values, that help to set our vision, and help keep us going in the right direction as a community. So in advance of doing our sort of every decade comprehensive plan update, the council asked, and the Economic Development Advisory Board actually is where this originated, that we come up with a shared vision for the city of Monroe. And so what I'm going to read to you that I'm sure many of you have heard before should be seen as sort of an aspirational vision statement. I know for some people to really get into this stuff, those of you with your black belts and everything and lean and whatnot, just think of it like this. This is an aspirational vision statement. This is who we think that we are today and who we aspire to be tomorrow. So for those of you that get into grammar and technical stuff, just approach this with a little bit of poetic license. Okay? It is possible to be both in the present and the past and also in the future all at once. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and read this. Imagine Monroe, a lively center surrounded by nature, a place of beauty and goodwill. Our parks, waterways, and environment are healthy and accessible for everyone to enjoy. Our historic downtown and business districts are thriving and full of locally owned businesses and locally sourced products. We can find everything we need with regional connections and with a variety of places for work, housing, dining, shopping, arts, and activities. Friendly and responsive, we strengthen connections through gathering spaces, events, services, and community-centered infrastructure, creating a safe place for all. In Monroe, everyone feels at home, and everyone feels at home. This is the vision that the council adopted just over 2 years ago. It was a result of a lot of community input, online, remote meetings. I think we might have had a couple of in-person meetings. And again, it represents who we feel we are today, and also who we aspire to be tomorrow. So in our budgeting, in the operations that we implement, in the comprehensive planning that we do, everything that we do comes back to Imagine Monroe. And I would hope that as you're looking at Imagine Monroe, that you can see a little bit of you in the work that you do, both in your businesses and also in your community, reflected in Imagine and Roam. Okay? So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and we're going to touch on some of the things that we've been doing at the city, and to the extent that we decided to attach some of Imagine and Roam to the slides behind me. So we're going to go ahead and move on to the next slide. So supporting locally owned businesses. This year, we have started working on analysis of downtown parking. So one of the things that we've heard is that there are concerns that there's not enough parking in downtown. So to respond to that, we have done a downtown parking study. The city council will be talking about what it is they'd like to do in terms of changing parking in the downtown. In the meantime, you can see also the building there. This building is a building that the city council authorized purchasing. We completed the purchase on that just a couple months ago. Part of what we're going to be using this property for in the near term will be for parking, to help supplement parking in the downtown. So if you're willing to walk a block or two to get to the business that you'd like to go to and don't want to park directly in front of the business, there's a place for you to park that is public parking. In the long term, we are going to be working with the city council to identify what our long-term use is going to be for this. We have had our planning documents for decades now to have some sort of downtown park or open space. So we will be talking with the council and with the community over the next year or so about what our vision is to redevelop this property to be something different, to be something that will help create some of those gathering spaces that are reflected in Imagine and Roam, and to be something that will help support locally owned businesses and locally sourced products, a place to create connections, and other items that are identified in Imagine and Roam. We also have been continuing the Choose the Roam magazine. I'm hopeful that that's something that your businesses have found useful. This is a way for us to get our voice out into community, but not just in the community, but also into the region. We want to make certain that people who live here in Monroe know that there are things that they can do in Monroe. And we want to make certain that people in the region, if you're on the ferry or wherever it is you are, will see one of these Choose Monroe magazines to go ahead and pull it and understand that there's more in Monroe than a prison, fairgrounds. But we are a community of people that go far beyond that. Tourism promotion and marketing. We're continuing to work on tourism promotion and marketing. Again, Choose the Roam magazine is a good part of that. We also brought on a new economic development specialist. And so if you haven't met him, I'm sure that our staff can go ahead and get you in touch with him. We're also doing that work with our economic development advisory board. And if you are an economic development advisory board member, if you could raise your hand. Okay, so these are people that I would encourage you to go and talk with if there's something you'd like to see in Monroe that we can workshop through the Economic Development Advisory Board. You can also talk to anyone of your council members, go ahead and raise your hands. To staff, go ahead and raise your hands. And to me. we're also working on improving pedestrian connections. And again, this goes to supporting locally owned businesses in that your customers should be able to park a couple blocks away and be able to walk, or even live in the downtown and be able to walk and feel safe about getting to the businesses you own. And so we're working on improving pedestrian crossings, including on North Belson. As we go to the next slide, we've had a number of new businesses come to town. At the same time, we continue to have a lot of different choices for work, dining, and shopping here in Monroe. A couple of the things that we're working on right now, of course, IHOP has come to Monroe, and Wingstop, that was last year. We also have had a new Indian restaurant come to the downtown. I've also heard about a new sushi restaurant coming to our downtown. But as you think about it, we're getting a lot more choices here in our community. When I started as mayor, one of the things that I heard was we don't need another teriyaki place because we have a lot of teriyaki places. So we're getting new businesses here in town to provide more choices for dining, shopping, and other activities in our community. And this these sorts of opportunities will just simply make our community more strong and help provide opportunities for people who are coming here to our city to choose to live here or live in the area to shop locally rather than going to other communities. we go to our next slide. Creating strong connections. So our community has always been one that really uses its parks. And I think the Historical Society, one of the things that I heard was that when we incorporated as a city, we originally wanted to be incorporated as the city of Park Place. The post office didn't like that because it sounded like a street. So the next choice was Monroe. So parks are very key to who we are, given that was a name that we wanted to be called. And so even to this day, we have a lot of open space here at Monroe. We have a lot of developed open space, parks, Lake Tai and Saddle River Park. And we also have a lot of undeveloped areas. Just think about any of our areas along the rivers, like Alboron Park. And we have a lot of different festivals and events that occur in those areas. We have the Fair Day Parade. Again, I thank the Chamber for all the work that you do to organize that. So Janelle and your team, where's Janelle? Thank you. We have opening day for fishing that happens every year at Lake Tai. We have music and movies in the park. We have our community egg hunt. We have Pride. We have a multicultural event. We have numerous sporting events, Juneteenth and National Night Out. Some of these events are very, very large events. The National Night Out, I have been boasting, is probably the largest in Sonoma County. We bring hundreds of people into our community for National Night Out. And we just continue to be a community that hosts a lot of events. And that's something that I would hope is good for your businesses and also good for residents who are here. Again, trying to get people to stay in our community and do things rather than going out of our community to do things. So as we go to the next slide, to make certain that this is a place where people want to come, it's really important for us to make certain that this is a safe place for all. And safety is not just law enforcement. Safety is also psychological safety, to make certain that you feel safe in your community. Again, Imagine Monroe talks about Monroe being a safe place for all, where everybody feels at home and everybody feels they belong. To do that means that you feel accepted in your community. To do that means that you can be who you are in our community. And so when we talk about safe place for all, we're talking about not just law enforcement, but also a number of other disciplines that relate to law enforcement. One of the good things is that we continue to do a really good job of recruiting people to our police department. So I'm going to talk just a little bit about our law enforcement departments. Right now, we only have two vacancies, Chief. That is a credit to the great recruiting efforts from our police department. We understand that we get a lot of people, especially a lot of laterals, to our city from other cities, and a lot of that is by the recruiting efforts from your team. And so thank all of you for the work that you're doing there. So I used a funny word there, laterals. Laterals, that's really important. A lot of places you end up getting brand new people to the field of law enforcement. It takes about a year to bring people on board where they can work on their own. And there are a lot of communities that are having a hard time getting people with actual law enforcement experience. So those people with actual law enforcement experience can be brought into the police department and started pretty quickly because they've already gone through the basic law enforcement academy. They already have gone through other training, they're up to date on their training, and therefore you can deploy them a lot more quickly. And we've had a lot of, these are called laterals, we've had a lot of people who have come in who are laterals, not just people who are entry level. And that is also a great testament to the work we're doing here in our community where we support our law enforcement and also to the great recruiting efforts from our team, so thank you. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that we've been doing. Kind of focus in a little bit on digital services in our community. I know that it's something that we hear a lot about. I know that it's something that impacts a lot of businesses. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. So from a law enforcement perspective, in addition to doing a really great job with recruiting officers, we have an embedded social worker program. And I know that I've mentioned this before. We started this about 7 years ago or so. Now Deputy Chief Irving was the one that brought the idea forward to me. It's a person that goes out with our law enforcement to make contact with people who are unhoused in our community to try to get them services. When I first started, our jail bill was really high. It was really high because we would go out and we would arrest people. They would go into jail and you'd book them in and you'd pay a certain amount of money for that. And then because of the way that our constitution is set up, they would end up making bail and they'd get out of jail. And then they'd have to wait before they could get time to work. I don't know about you, but if you ever find yourself in a situation where you're arrested, you make bail, you're probably going to go home when you're done. When you're waiting for a court case, right? Well, when you are unhoused, you end up just going back out on the streets because that's where you live. So one of the things that we're doing is we're approaching things from a different perspective, which most law enforcement agencies in the state of Washington and throughout the nation are doing now, which is this co-responder program. So just like the fire department, you're co-responders with police. Police are co-responders with fire. Firefighters put out fires. Police officers don't. Police officers handcuff people. Firefighters don't. Those things have changed. And so an embedded social worker is very much like a firefighter, somebody with special training in how to work with somebody who is in crisis, helps to de-escalate that person, and then has the tools to be able to get them the services that they need to improve the situation that they're in. And so while we still very much hold people accountable when they break the law, we also will meet with them with an embedded social worker to try to get them the help they need. The result of that is as people accept the help, we have fewer people going to jail. We have fewer contacts with the same person again and again. Those people then find housing. They then repair relationships with their family members, friends, and these are positive things, not just from a benefit cost analysis of lowering costs, but also from a moral perspective of helping to strengthen the community once again. And so, Deputy Chief Irving, I thank you for bringing that forward about 7 years ago. So since then, we have developed other tools. And I thank our council for their work in this space to support this work. We now have a therapeutic court, and so we have Judge Ness. Where are you? Jessica, raise your hand. There you are. So Judge Ness over there, one of the cool things that this community has is we have our own municipal court. And the cool thing about a municipal court is that Judge Ness is a contractor with the city of Monroe. She's not a politician that is a judge, because you know the judges are politicians. She's not a politician that's a judge that works for the county. She is somebody that understands what our vision is. She is somebody that understands that we need to work with the community and try to achieve certain goals. And so one of those goals that we have put into place over the last maybe 2 years is a therapeutic court. And so the way that that works is that when somebody is being held accountable or being brought into court for a misdemeanor or a gross misdemeanor crime, so not for a felony, so we're not talking murder, we're not talking that kind of thing, but we're talking trespass and things like that. If there's somebody that has found themselves in that situation where you've had mental behavioral health, chemical dependency, which is drug addiction, or poverty or other things that have been contributing factors, lack of housing, she's able to give people choices, just like with the co-responder, the embedded social worker, and the law enforcement officer going out there and saying, we can do this or we can do this. The same thing happens in court. So she's able to say, hey, you know, what you're looking at is you're looking at 90 days in jail or up to 364 days in jail, or you can agree with your public defender and the prosecutor, who is our prosecutor that we pay for, and our public defender that we pay for, that you pay for, to be able to accept services from one of the many service providers. If you're a service provider, can you put your hands up? Okay. So these are examples of service providers that we work with to try to get help. Again, the idea here is to break the cycle of somebody being trespassed again and again, and to avoid those phone calls that I used to get, which is, hey, Mayor, I saw this person picked up on Friday night. They went ahead and put handcuffs on them and took them off. Why do I see them on the street again and it's Monday already? That's the type of call I used to get. I don't get those phone calls as much anymore because we now have people who are breaking that cycle because we're getting people help when they're willing to accept it. So that's what a therapeutic court is. And this is something that I'm thankful that one of our, was it senator or representative? What can I? For the 1.1 million state? So I thank our representatives, both the state and the federal level, for helping to fund a therapeutic court. One of the things you have seen maybe at the City Hall campus is the City Hall is gone. So part of that reconstruction is to add a therapeutic court. And we've been able to get $1.1 million toward that improvement. And that will help us do a better job of addressing these sorts of concerns. With all that said, then, we also do this proactive work that doesn't always involve law enforcement, but maybe it does. We partner with nonprofits. We have a mobile mental health program. We have recovery beds for under and uninsured residents. We have transitional housing for families. We have rental assistance and so on. And all of these things are things that we're doing with the service providers that put their hands up in the room, and there are a lot that are not here today. So we continue to do a really good job in this space with reducing the number of people who would otherwise be unhoused and living on our streets. We're doing a lot to help reconnect families because chemical dependency or mental behavior or health or other issues got in the way. And it's something that I feel is a real blessing for our community to be able to partner with folks to help make this happen. So before we move on to the next item, again, the hard thing about this is I'm just kind of talking and doing things. I thank you so much for your support in this space and for your work in this space. And I am going to ask a round of applause for those folks that are working in this field, and especially Judge Ness, Deputy Chief Irving, and others who I'm probably not thinking of right now that. Oh, Rachel, jeez, Rachel Adams. I'm gonna get to a slide that's gonna make me think of you in just a second. Rachel Adams, for the work that everybody is doing in this space. Without these partnerships, we would have more people living in house on our streets than we do today. And so, thank you. So the next slide, probably going back about 4 years ago, we came up with the Homeless Policy Advisory Committee. We have two council members today who are part of the Homeless Policy Advisory Committee. So I'd like those council members to raise their hands. Council Member Fisher and, oh, Council Member Gamble's not here. Sorry. I just made you a member of HVAC. So, sorry about that. So Council Member Fisher was a member of HVAC. Council Member Gamble was a member of HVAC. Rachel was a member of HVAC. Anybody else here who is a member of HVAC? Is I missing somebody? No. Okay, so what this was we were trying to find a way to better address the issue of homelessness in Monroe. And we brought forward and the council approved forming this Homeless Policy Advisory Council. We had a blend of people on there, people who had previously been unhoused. We also had residents on there, which at that point Kyle was. Before you were a planning commissioner, I think. And then we also had business owners on it as well. And what they came up with was after learning a lot about this work and about things that lead to people being homeless, was just this wheel that's behind us. And to this day, we're still implementing what's on this wheel. So they talked about public safety, we talked about that, supportive services, prevention. That's where people from service organizations go out and meet with people who are unhoused or before they potentially become unhoused. That's ideal if we can stop somebody from becoming homeless. And then housing continues to be an issue that a lot of communities are grappling with. Part of the crisis that we have on homelessness is the lack of housing and affordable housing. We talked about partners, and we talked about policy and budget, and again, you'll see screen then talks about how we've been working on these different areas. So in housing, there's our community has the weather shelter, Monroe Family Respite. We have rental assistance through a housing bill that was adopted by the legislature a couple of years ago. We have the motel voucher program. And one of the other recommendations that was brought up was safe parking. Partners, we have service provider check-ins. There's a presence from our service providers at community events. We also include information in utility inserts and brochures. We have the Evergreen Health Scholarship Vet Program. And then we have a panelist event with local pastors from time to time. One of the things I want to highlight is this Scholarship Vet Program. A lot of you here have may work places where you have something called health insurance. When you're unhoused, when you're homeless, you don't have access to health care the way that people who may be employed where there is health care have. And so one of the things that we've been able to do is to have funds available to help somebody who wants to get off drugs or whatever the case may be, where we can help sponsor that at our local public hospital here. And that's something else that we received funding from our state and federal representatives as well. And it's something that was highlighted on K-5 about 4 to 6 months ago. So we've had some people that have gone through that process that, again, have been reconnected with families and with people that we no longer make contact with on the streets or in our parks. We've got some other notes there on prevention, public safety, supportive services, and then policy and budget. I am thankful for all the service providers that are part of this and also for our council for considering and approving the work that we're doing in this space. And I think that's that on there. Let me go ahead and go to the next slide. And one of the things I'd like everybody to understand is the financial component of this. So Rachel, who is our human services coordinator, her salary and benefits, sorry, it's public record. Her salary benefits come to about $115,000. Yep, up there at the top, so $116,000. And you can see on your that on the right side, these are grants that we received in 2024. These are grants that we've received since last year, ending in 2024. We've received $1.5 million in grants. This is funding that we have been able to then get out to service providers to deliver on the services that that I've already mentioned in the previous slides. Now, the person responsible for the $1.5 million is Rachel. So for an investment of $116,000 a year, she's been able to turn that into $1.5 million in assistance. And this whole issue of human services continues to be one of those fields that we as elected officials especially have a hard time working in. We are each raised with these different perceptions about what our country should be able to do, and the idea of sort of pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, you should be able to do it on your own. The reality is that that is not everybody. Some people just get a bad break. Something happens, they're out in their farm field, they fall down somewhere, they hurt their arm, and then they go inside and they cut their hand and they don't have health insurance. Sorry, this recently happened to somebody. She's not listening, but that's okay. But you can have a bunch of things happen where you're talking about accidents and getting hurt. Sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But you can have one major traumatic event. You could have a bunch of different things that have happened, and all of a sudden find yourself without a home because of healthcare costs. You could all of a sudden find yourself without a home because of things that have changed in your household or things that have changed with you. It could be addiction. It could be domestic violence. There are all sorts of things that lead to people being on the streets that we then have to work with. And it continues to be one of those areas where I think we want to think that people should just be able to figure it out. The reality is that, you know, we're standing here in a church right now, and I'm just speaking as a human. It's about love and compassion, right? That's what's important to me. You know, I hear people talk about how this is a nation of laws and law and order and all this other stuff. Whatever happened to being a nation of people? You know, when I read the New Testament, when I read the Old Testament, when I'm reading, there is a lot about loving your neighbor, about caring for one another, about being just, about being humble, about being kind. You know, it's not an excuse for somebody not to help themselves, but for crying out loud. We have resources and we should be able to help people. And that's what our community is. So thank you everybody for that work in that space. So let's talk about something different. Let's talk about private development. So this year, last year we had 105 building permits issued. That was last year. This year, year to date, so as of right now, we've had 79 building permit applications. We, for a variety of different reasons, one of them being the economy and an interest in being living here in Monroe, we've had a lot of people submit applications to build attached and detached residences. Our community last count was just over 20,000. We continue to grow. What is our 2040 target number? Lance, sir? 25,000, yeah. So in the next 10 years, you can anticipate, based on those projections, about another 5,000 people moving to our community. So before that, we're working on our comprehensive plan right now. We've been doing a lot of community outreach in that space, and I think our planning staff and our building staff have worked in that. And I think everybody who's been part of making comments on how we're going to grow as a community. Some other things to note, new retail restaurants and services. Again, BECU just redeveloped. There's a place called Escape Goats I haven't been to yet. Sounds interesting. Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you. High Tide Vintage. IHOP has come to town. Wendy's is coming.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. So those of you who like your burgers, swear. we have Kadai. Did I get that right? I've been there a few times, I really like it. And then Sushi Slot, just a couple of new places that have come here to town or done some redevelopment. Going on to the next. Yeah? What is that? Nice. Well, we got a lot of businesses coming to town, and that's really great. Not only a lot of people coming to town, but we've also got a lot of new businesses coming to town, and those are wonderful things. So we're going to go ahead and move on to the next slide. So we're also investing in our community. We, as I've already mentioned, have a major municipal campus renovation. This is the second to the last phase of a 15-year development plan. I think it was approved about 15 years ago or so. This isn't the final phase yet. The final phase will be redoing our police facilities. We've already demoed and we're going to be rebuilding the municipal campus there. This will help us out with providing services and room for growth. It'll mean that hopefully the sewer system won't be backing up into City Hall, because that was nice. we also are working on rebranding. So you can see a logo here, top right. That is very close to, if not exactly what, the final logo for the city of Monroe is going to be. So some of the cool things about this, when you can take a look at it, you can see the M. You can also see the hills and valleys there. There are some people, when they look at it, they see for the speedway what look like two flags, the wings are. You can also see a swift if you are into swifts or ice and eagle. I also, when I'm looking at this, I also see vision. I see strength. I see direction. So there are other things when you, as you're looking at this, there's a lot you can see in this logo. And I really appreciate all the work that our consultants have been doing this, all the feedback we received from the community, and we'll call this a soft rollout since we're sharing more broadly. But we'll be getting more information out to the public in the final version of this over the next couple months or so. We also are redoing Blueberry Park. We're going to be redoing Curry Park, which is over on 154th. For those of you that are in pickleball, we'll be resurfacing one of the tennis courts out at Lake Tide to also be a pickleball courts. How many pickleball courts are going to be there? Is it two? Five. Sounds good. We're doing renovations for the tennis court. We're working on the courts. We're working on Trails Master Plan update. Part of that is we want to make certain that we're putting connections here in our community. Again, going to Imagine the World, we're connecting and strengthening communities. And then also looking at making connections to our neighboring cities. So think a connection out to Snohomish to the west, and also think a connection to Duval to the south. Once that occurs, you'd be able to go from North Bend all the way up to Monroe, and then from Monroe to Snohomish, and then you can go all the way down to Seattle or all the way up to Skagit County. So anyway, it's something that is obviously a very long-term goal, but if we don't keep those in our plans and if we don't keep talking about those sorts of things, they'll never happen. And then we also have, as I mentioned before, the comp plan update, the downtown parking study. We're working on street overlays, and then we're still working on 522. That's something that it continues to be a challenge at the state level. And I am thankful for the work that our state representatives have been doing to keep funding there. But at the same time, I keep seeing funding be out in future years. I'd like to see the funding this year and actual construction this year. So we need to stay on top of it. This is not something that is just the city, but I highly encourage you that if somebody's running for office, especially at the state legislature, that one of your first questions coming out of your mouth should be, do you support 522? And if you're going to come up, what have you done to support 522? That to me is a critical item that you need to be asking everybody when they come to your door. Okay? All right. So going to the last slide then. It's just sort of the bottom part of the slide. Which is Monroe, our vision again for who we are today and who we aspire to be tomorrow is to be a safe place for all, for everyone, where everyone feels at home and everyone feels they belong. That's all that I have to present to you today. If Janelle would like, I can certainly answer any questions you might have. And thank you very much.
No, thank you.